All right, but let's go back to St. Mark. I think we are on the text 107.
The soldier going to war, it is said, does not entangle himself in the affairs of this world. For he who entangles himself with the passions while trying to overcome them is like a man who tries to put out a fire with a straw.
All right. It's pretty clear, this text. But we have to realize that, I would start with that there are several possible reactions how we can react towards a passion which is born in us. There are like first reaction of our first group of people are people who are not moved by that. They can point, okay, this is my passion, whatever passion it is, they say, it's normal, it's human, and they don't stop, they think, they just continue in their way. This first direction. Those people in that group are already dead, spiritually dead people who are living only for this world and for pleasures this world is offering. But there is another group who can realize the seriousness of the passion, and they make decision to fight against that, to deny these impulses or say no to those impulses which are coming and cause this passion. And but they are weak in this way that they allow pleasure which it brings. You know that somebody who allows good food, some special food of some kind, and have, so it is difficult to fight with gluttony if I want that food, I want to have this pleasure from that taste. You know that, and especially we can see that if there are sick people who are put on diet and diabetes or whatever they have, and they cannot resist, they know that it is killing me, it might kill me or can cause my state, health can become worse, but they cannot resist. And they have this food which brings pleasure. So the same thing it is with that group, that they realize seriousness, but they are not able to find like strength in themselves to say no to these pleasures. And so they fail again, but again, they make a decision. And this is what St. Mark compares to a man who tries to extinguish fire with straw, you know, that it's just growing. If you are doing that, yes, you can say, I'm fighting, but actually this fire is growing, going bigger and bigger because because the person still loves the pleasure of the passion. And the third group is a group who, if they recognize this passion, so it brings them to big sorrow, to pain of heart, to tears. They realize that, well, it is like that they don't like God with that, or they cause pain to God, and they put their souls to danger, and because of that they strip away everything what is possible just to be healed from that passion. And this is like this, he says, Mark, that it is, we can compare those people like to the soldiers who have their duty and like when they were like this unit at the time in the city, so they were not involved, they were in their barracks, you know, and they were not part of normal life, they were like a separate place. And many times they were, and probably at the time this, what is Zsoltnyer, these paid soldiers who were not like from the country.
Mercenaries.
Yes. So they didn't care, you know. People could like fight in the city or whatever. If they didn't get order, they did nothing because they are not paid for that. They did only for what they got money. And he said, we should be like that, that like this, all these people, this, that we are focused only what is our duty and the salvation of our soul. And it brings me some kind of separation from the world. And not only separation, if this comparison with soldiers, you know, they are non-stop like in the war. If they are not fighting in the war, in the time of peace, they are practicing. It's again every day, it's the same routine to gain bigger skill, to be ready in the time of war to win. So we should follow this example. But anyway, I think that the more the text reminds us that there is no peace during our life, like non-stop, like it should be like non-stop attention where we are, in which place we are, and it be like non-stop this desire to stay focused and detached somehow from all those things which are taking us from God. All right. If there are no questions, so we can continue.
If one becomes angry with one's neighbor on account of riches, fame, or pleasure, one does not realize that God orders all things with justice.
This is a tough one. You know, because I think many people, especially those who some kind of suffer with some kind of misery, they are filled with envy. They don't say this envy, they say, well, this is not justice in this world. But it is really envy which causes that. And damaging themselves through this. And it's not only about rich, to be rich, it's envy about glory somebody has or higher status, even virtues, that somebody is very pious and good Christian, it can cause this. Or health, you know, that. So, and he explains that what is the root of this envy, why this envy starts or can grow in us. And he says that it is because we didn't realize that God orders everything with justice. And it's difficult sometimes to accept for us that we can, that somebody has a good life, rich life, whatever. But, well, one thing is that God is just, and he knows where our life is heading to. And if he sees that our decision leads us away from him, So he gives us this reward for good deeds here on earth. He really doesn't forget any good deed we are making. So if he somehow gives better life here on earth to somebody or gives this blessing, he does it because of all these good deeds those people made, and there is no reward in heaven for them. So he gives them reward here on earth. And there are many other things which can be this is providence. Somebody he arranges, for example, we are touching this wealth, you know, like money, you know, abundance of money or something. You know, we have to realize that, especially if you go through Europe, through these cities, and you see these wonderful cathedrals, churches, and other like this church, like monuments, I would say. You have to realize for sure there are collections, many, but majority of the things were given by very rich people who helped church in that. The same way, if you go through many monasteries in the West, or now even in the East, you read the history. So the monastery could start only that somebody who was rich gave not only money to build a building, but even to give land around, make this monk have a source for how to gain food for them, you know. So sometimes God gives this blessing to some people because he's using them as these benefactors for good deeds, you know, for good projects. And so it should be good practice for us to identify in us if there is a envy or not in our heart. And if we find some kind of these moments that, well, we feel not comfortable, that if when we see somebody and we say, well, why, you know, this one, why I don't have this? We should ask that for wisdom to understand God's providence. You know, to ask him, oh Lord, I give you glory even I don't understand, but everything happens with your permission, with your blessing. So what you are doing good. So I accept that. And when we do this, so then we will be fighting not only against envy, but we will remove these many these impulses against like self-pity, anger, and self-pity, anger, and probably some other passions. But St. Isaac Syrian, he says that if somebody who think about own death, and through this own death he judges the things, he says that he will be illuminated with some kind of light from above, this noetic light from above, and he will be filled with wonder how God moves this world, how he arranges this world and the lives of people. And from this understanding, is born some kind of this is something of God's love in us. This gift of love, which is growing and consumes passions of body and soul. So he says that when we are doing that, not only understanding, but this, he says God's love, but yeah, God's love, which consumes, it means purifies us from other passions. Right. Difficult to explain. And one thing is connection with that. I used that today during that book study we had with the SOA group. And because somebody asked about humility, how to become humble, I said, well, we become humble when we know ourselves. When we know ourselves so well, so then we are overwhelmed this and we are non-stop asking God for help. And somebody says, well, that saints, they didn't see, like, sins of others, you know, that I said, well, these are like practices of that. And I said, well, when also coming to hospital, I followed the ambulance and I came, they didn't let me in immediately. So I was in this lobby there. And there were several people there. And what I remember is that my understanding was they are in bad conditions, you know, because they are like groaning and somebody was holding the like belly, probably pains. So I saw them and I forgot about them. Like, there's a focus, what it is her, you know, and I was not paying attention to those people. Because I was consumed with this thought, concentration, what is with her. I said that the same thing is this humility. And it's connected with that when we know our weaknesses, when we know our these wounds, that we are so concentrated on this, and we want to find solution, healing. So we are so consumed that we stop to see around us. You know, that we stop to see that. I'm not saying that now that we should be blind to, blind and not to help if we can. I'm just saying that this concentration on our causes that we are not able to judge the others, not to be consumed by their sins and weaknesses, you know, but because, and we realize that there are, I saw those people in the lobby that they are sick there, and well, for sure, if I would meet them on the street, I would do something, but well, there were an emergency, but you realize that, but well, your pain is so intensive that you are forgetting about, you are not thinking about pain of those who are in that same facility. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. It's not against law, it's just state of heart from which this humility is growing. And like in this, then I will be not measuring even like state of others, if it's rich or popular or famous or whatever, a powerful person, because, well, I have enough to do with me. And I think this is very important thing to find developed in our spiritual life, this position, because it protects us from passions and actually heals us very fast for our passions. Questions? Maggie is missing here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That you remember that girl, she became now nun and now she always has a lot of questions.
That's probably why she's a nun today.
Probably. They're like these nuns, they're like, oh, Maggie. All right.
When you hear the Lord saying that if someone does not renounce all that he has, he's not worthy of me, apply this not only to money, but to all forms of vice.
Again, just he repeats what we heard a thousand times already. That and look, the goal of spiritual life or Christian spirituality is to get on the top of this mystical life, to be united with Christ, to reach this deep unity with him, this likeness. If we understand spiritual life in different ways, so we are wrong. We don't understand that. And I think that this should be stressed more, and I am guilty of that, I am not stressing that more, that this is the goal. The goal is not just to come to church on Sundays and somehow try to be not very bad person, you know, but the goal is to be thirsty, hungry, to grow, to be, to taste this blessedness which comes from this mystical life, this Christ. And this is what these Holy Fathers, they remind us again, and they say that, well, there are like a lot of these steps towards this top on this like this icon of transfiguration, you know, that when apostles came up and they could see Christ in his glory and experience that, well, they had to go on the top, they had to walk there. And I think this is like this symbol, this is like why St. John Climacus, he says about these 30 steps. You know, we have to go through and ascend it. So it's like non-stop walking and never be satisfied. And I think that Mark, probably because of previous text, he touches that, well, that it's not only riches or money or a possession, but even each form of evil should be removed from us if we want to go or to grow. And it's tough because I think that even like in this environment in the church or this atmosphere in the church doesn't create this push, doesn't articulate this goal. Well, we are talking about that, but like in practical way we are not pushing ourselves. Like parishes should be like these laboratories. Then in parish we are trying to like this to grow, not laboratories, maybe like this centers for the best people in sport, you know, who train very well, and then they inspire people who come and see their competitions. Even that is not good picture, but you know what I mean to say, that the parish should be this centers of life real life. When, well, we can be on different levels, but we have in us this desire for this real life with Christ. And I think this is missing, and somehow we, many times we stop on somewhere in the middle, in some kind of comfortable level of life, spiritual life. Then, and then it doesn't taste well for us because we are not taken by that, we are not inspired, we are not on fire. And it's not for sure, it is not inspiring for the others in the world, because our life doesn't carry signs of different life, you know, we are trying to live. And I think what he says, his words is like, these words push us to some kind of bigger radicalism. We have to deny or renounce everything what keeps us down. And for sure, you know, we cannot make jump now, you know, like to holiness. But if this is in us, so then we can grow. And look, and it can have many forms. This, there are like, it's so encouraging, for example, to see people who come like very often for confession, you know, like, and they try through this confession to heal their hearts from some kind of passion, some kind of bad habit, or some kind of just to, or some to prevent even from something. And it's so encouraging for priests to see that, you know, like, and because those people would say that, well, we are bigger sinners or whatever. But like for me, it is like, this is fighter, you know, and if that person doesn't have this goal in front of his or her eyes, you know, this goal, the person would not come, you know, would not come. But it's amazing. Or I'm just saying that this zeal for to reach this perfectness is something what we have to ask for and to keep alive in our hearts. It's great, like, now, we had our men's group yesterday, and when I was listening, sharing this man, and I felt so happy there, because you could see that not only they have this goal in front of them, but they really are searching for ways how to raise children, how to create good environment for children. You can see that they want to like put to minds of the children this desire for it. It was amazing. I really loved that, and I felt so blessed, you know, that and happy that this group of men could, that they formed, and they try to support each other. So, but we have to do it on personal level, then it can be seen in these small groups. But never like we should resist this temptation of satisfaction, especially if we make some kind of progress and suddenly we see that we are doing spiritual life much better than people and us. This temptation comes and I say, well, you are fine, you reach something, you reach some level, great. No, it's, we have to say, I reach nothing. There is like, Christ is waiting me on the top mountain. I want to get there.
He who does not know the truth cannot truly have faith, for by nature knowledge precedes faith.
Yeah. Interesting. St. Theo van der Kloos, he says that when he's talking about raising children and this Christian raising children, he says that he reminds them that we have to remember that the soul comes to this world naked, and the soul puts on herself everything what comes through senses, and he says, be careful what you allow your children to see, hear, taste, experience. And he says that we can think only about those things which came to our hearts through senses. Okay. We cannot think about things which we never experienced. I think that how strange it had to be for those who came here to America from Portugal, Spain, and they found new fruits. They never saw that. How it was like strange for them. And millions of people in Europe didn't have idea about existence of this fruit. So they couldn't like think about this because they didn't have this understanding. Experience. The same thing is that we can think only what comes in. Now, if we allow bad things to enter, so we will be thinking about those things. If we allow only good things, we will be thinking only about good things. But this is not possible, only good things, because we know that we cannot protect ourselves totally. But I think that many times it is like, I was very surprised when I started to read the Holy Fathers, and one thing which surprised me was that how they stressed spiritual reading. For sure, I understood spiritual reading is useful, we should do this, but I never understood important spiritual reading in this way, how they understood that, how they were forcing us to do spiritual reading. But in the light of these other words, our teachings, for example, this one. So if through senses good things can be put to our soul and put on to cover as a cloth, so we should have this like wisdom in us, that we will start and we search for things we let go through our senses inside, which are good. And especially now when mass media, they give us a lot of this. If we want something or doesn't want, even we protect ourselves, it comes. So I should be like in this position, okay, during the day, so many impulses came from the world through my eyes. So many suggestion, ideologies or whatever. So what can I do? I can do at least a balance. They put nice dose of good things through senses, through spiritual reading, for example, to make some kind of balance inside, or even more. So we should, and we cannot grow in faith if we don't do this, because faith is from preaching. Paul says, I don't know the correct translation. And so it means that we are growing faith through preaching, through proclamation of gospel. And we receive that insight. And this starts to grow in us. Nothing will grow in us if we don't receive this proclamation of gospel to our souls. So reading scriptures, reading holy fathers, reading life of saints, all those things, they bring us to connection, to meeting this truth. And from that, this good, true knowledge comes, is born in us. Does it make sense what I'm saying? And we cannot expect that it will be like that immediately I read one book and suddenly I will be so illuminated that everything will occur from me. I think that it's a slow process that we are receiving these impulses, this good stuff from this book, and in some moments it comes that for sure you had this experience, suddenly it clicked in your mind, okay, now I know, now I understand. You can't explain why, but you know this is the truth. And okay.
You know, I was going to say, you know, in reading the spiritual fathers, a lot of times I think it helps us to understand scripture better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is true.
Yeah. It just seems like it makes it, just like you said, it seems like it opens up that door that wasn't there before.
But we have to be very careful, you know,
yeah,
with this knowledge we have, because I hope that there was one young man who contacted me, he wanted some answers for his question, for some kind of problems, you know. So he called me and he said, you know, that in the end, he said that, I'm so thankful for these holy fathers. You know, he said, well, I am happy that you brought me to this reading, because now I have a friend, and if she starts to talk about some kind of spiritual things, I look at her and say, well, it's not right. It's not correct. And I have this tension in me to correct her, because it's totally different what Holy Father say. so this understanding, you know, it pushes you to correct. You start to taste falsehood, you know, that or deformed understanding, you know, that about some things, you know, And it's many times it is. So, another person who said that he told me that, look, I had to leave one meeting. I don't know what was. It's not important what meeting religiously. So they started to pray and I couldn't stand this. You know, it was like this hallelujah atmosphere and raising hands and say, and then he had discussion with one lady. She somehow led this meeting and She said, what happened? I said, well, there was not prayer. He said, you didn't pray. What it was? We were giving praises to God. It was, and he said, no. It was, everything was about us. It was not about God. I praise you. I. And everybody was so happy to pray that, because everybody felt pleasure from that, like emotional fulfillment and good feeling. I said, this was not prayer. I had to leave. I don't like this prayer. So he told me, she was upset. She was upset. But one thing is that you are really, through these reading spiritual things, and not necessarily Holy Father, but when you really try to understand this spiritual life, so very soon you gain this, some kind of this like sixth sense, or this ability to taste if something is like false, mm-hmm. not right. Many times you cannot like point, oh, this is not right, this is not correct, this part is not, but you feel that, you know that. You know, it's very annoying thing, because you start to understand that through this understanding, this understanding attracts its temptations to correct others, to tell about my truth, what is really truth, and it becomes then my truth, and I am not different from those who I don't like, you know. So we have to be careful, but always have to do everything in humility, and as I said, that more we are gaining or reading, so those saints, they change our life. It's the saying that warning these many saints they give, that if you start to read Holy Fathers, you have to be ready that your life will be changed. You know, and it works, it's true. Okay. Yes.
See how they apply from scripture into how they pulled out the information and applied it in their lives. And you look at different ways of applying the same thing, only they did it differently in that scripture
department. Yeah.
It's amazing, just little sentences that they pulled out, that they were able to capture so much information.
Well, with that, this is like, we can find in Filokaya these small sentences, like Marek Svetig and this Theodore the Great we went through, and there are many others. But you know that these small sentences, it said, those are only titles of reflection that saint gave to his disciples. So they just put like title or summary of that whole reflection. So I sometimes it's like really the, they put it together very small, this wisdom to few words. So it would be great to hear what that saying in that reflection said.
These are the original tweets.
Yeah. I have to remember that. But see, this is great. All right, we will finish here. It's that miss. Well, thank you very much. Now, next week is already a great week, so we are not going to have, because next week we have liturgy, it's feast of Annunciation.
Yep.
So we are not going to have a meeting